Well, this is Paul's final word. That's what we've called the sermon this morning, and finally. But it isn't just a few words tacked on at the very end of the letter. It is some really important advice for a church that he loves, and a church that is facing the reality of struggling as they seek to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They're a church that's turned away from idols and turned towards to serve the living God. And they're waiting for Lord Jesus, who has saved them from the wrath that is yet to come. And that arrival of Jesus a second time, the day of the Lord, is what Paul is encouraging them to have in mind as they live for Christ. It's what shaped what we looked at last week, and it's what shapes his final remarks to them here. It's very striking, I think, that his final remarks are all remarks that help us to live in the light of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, we're in a similar situation to them. We are waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're in a time at the moment, particularly, that is very challenging, when a whole range of things for us have been thrown up in the air. And so as Paul writes to the Thessalonians to help them to see what matters, so we recognise that even in our own day at the moment, this is a time to choose what matters, a time to work out what is passing away and of no real eternal value, a time to separate what is necessary from what is not. And indeed, it's probably a time to get our lives back on track if they are off track with regard to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed with others. Well, let's have a look, shall we, and see what it is that Paul is saying to us here. Well, I think he's saying this, that his second coming, that's Jesus' second coming, means that relationships matter. If you have a look at the passage in front of you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 28, you'll see that all the way through this section, he's talking about relationships. Relationships between the people of God in Thessalonica and their leaders. Relationships between the people in the church at Thessalonica. Relationships between them and God himself. And all the way through this, Paul is concerned that all of those relationships are in the right place and being worked out with all the right attitudes and behaviours. And so as we face all the pressures that we do at the moment, so it's really helpful to have this advice from Paul. Let's have a look, shall we, at each of the different sections and just take a few points from them as we go through. Well, here's the first one. Look at verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Now, this is a brilliant passage, obviously, for preachers. And I'm very grateful for Paul's advice here to the people of God in Thessalonica. He goes on to say, hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. It's striking, isn't it, that it is possible, therefore, for leaders of churches to be not at peace with the members of churches. And certainly in occasions where I've seen that, it's a horrible thing. And it's a wretched thing. And I give great thanks that that isn't the case here at Grace Church. It's my constant thanksgiving that I am able to serve a people who are so supportive and encouraging in the work that I do. But notice what Paul is expecting leaders to do for the congregations. He's expecting them to work hard. They're expecting leaders to care for the congregation in the Lord. And they're expecting leaders also to admonish you. And I'm really struck by that. Now, we're conscious, aren't we, always, that we live in a culture that doesn't really like being told what we have to do. And one of the challenges that I face as a leader, as I teach God's word and I try and encourage you to live more wholeheartedly for the Lord Jesus Christ, is that I'm encouraged here by Paul to be someone who admonishes you. And I want this morning, really, to ask for your forgiveness where perhaps I may have not done that as well as I ought to. Where just simply because I'm a child of my culture like you are as well, I maybe haven't been as clear as I might in encouraging you to live wholeheartedly for the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, would you forgive me for that? And I hope very much with God's help to do that well for you in the future. Well, we'll pass on from thinking about ministers, but have a look at what it says in verse 14. And this is advice definitely for people who are in isolation or in close proximity to family or friends with no possible chance of release or letting off steam. Look at verse 14. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Now, the Thessalonians were good at this already, but it's very striking, isn't it, that Paul encourages them to do it more and more, just as he's done that in other areas of their godliness. He wants people to be hard at work, and I guess that's one of the challenges of being at home at the moment, of not being able to go out. It would be possible to be idle and disruptive, not to give ourselves to those things that we know will be of value, not to use this time to think about what our priorities ought to be now that our diaries are being rearranged. Notice also we're to help the weak and be patient with everyone. Our patience will be stretched at times like these, both with those in our houses and our households, but also with those outside. And we need to recognise that our call as those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ is not to get fed up and stop helping people, but to bear with people, certainly to encourage the disheartened, and many will be over the coming days, to help the weak and be patient with everyone. All sorts of ways we can be doing that, by ringing people up, by inviting people perhaps just for a Zoom or a Skype coffee, inviting them round for supper on Skype, just ways of encouraging, lifting people up. And let's be patient with each other. It will be easy not to have that characteristic at work in our lives. Strive, says Paul, to do what is good for each other. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, if we as a church family were striving to make sure that even though we're not connected physically on a Sunday, we're doing what's good for each other and indeed for everyone else around us. So good relationships with those who lead you, good relationships with those in the church family too. But notice, thirdly, it's really good relationships with God too. Have a look at verse 16. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, but this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't quench the spirit, don't treat prophecies with contempt. Test them all, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. Paul is really concerned that we respond rightly to God each day and every day, whether we're in lockdown or whether we're in normal circumstances. And it's very striking, isn't it, that he says rejoice always, not just rejoice when things are going well, not rejoice when you're not in lockdown, but rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, no matter what we find ourselves in at the moment, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, if as a church family we were distinctive in that, in all the relationships that we have. We wouldn't let our current circumstances get the better of us. But we put God first at the beginning of our day, the end of our day, maybe even in the middle of the day, and spend time thanking him, rejoicing in his goodness to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, praying regularly and continually, maybe developing a pattern of prayer we hadn't had before, but this time gives us an opportunity for. Giving thanks, that's why we said the general thanksgiving at the beginning of this morning's time together. Don't quench the spirit. And let's be open to all that God is encouraging us to do. Not let human pragmatism necessarily just say we can't do things, but let's trust that God is a God who's able to do more than we ask or imagine. You may think I can't speak to that friend or be practically helping that friend, but God is able to help them. God is able to be at work in them by his Spirit. Let's pray and ask that he would be doing that. Hold on to what is good, says Paul. Reject every kind of evil. Make good choices, is what he's saying. And then finally, Paul finishes with a prayer. And it is very striking that all the way through this letter, Paul has prayed time and time again for the Thessalonians. Prayer is so vital for us. And at a time when perhaps we've got a chance to reflect on the depth of our prayer lives, here is Paul praying. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. That means make you more like Christ. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Very striking, isn't it? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is always in view for Paul. For Paul, it's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that would make the most difference. Not coronavirus or any other crisis, a financial crisis that might follow the coronavirus. No, it's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the big decision moment for the world in which we live. And Paul looks for us to be ready for that. He wants us to be ready for his coming. And notice what he says, verse 24, it isn't a work we do on our own. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. How we need to remind ourselves that God is trustworthy, that God keeps his promises, that all the promises he's made to us in the Lord Jesus Christ are ones on which we can rely, even at a time like this. No matter what is going on in your life, whether you are anxious or concerned financially because money is drying up, whether you're concerned for the health of a loved one, maybe a mother or father, a child, God is faithful. God keeps his promises. He loves us and he cares for us. And he is still at work. Jesus is still the one who is Lord of all. He's still our Saviour and he will come again. Paul ends by encouraging not just his prayers for the Thessalonians, but the Thessalonians to pray for him. And can I encourage you to do that? Not only for me, but for each other. Verse 26, I'm afraid, is advice that we aren't going to be able to put into practice for a while. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. But we can wait. I charge you, says Paul, before the Lord, to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. What a wonderful way to finish this letter. What a wonderful prayer for the Thessalonians. I want to finish just by reading some verses from a hymn that was in one of the books that I know some of you are looking at during Lent. It's a hymn that reminds us of Christ's call and encourages us to respond to it. I want us to just reflect on that this morning. Let me read the hymn and then I'll pray. Christ calleth yet. At last shall I not heed? How long shall I refuse the grace I need? While pleasures fade and time's swift moments fly, shall still my soul in mortal peril lie? Christ calleth yet, alas, this stubborn heart. I feared his yoke shrank from the nobler part. God and my soul, how oft I have betrayed. He draws me still. Rise, heart, be not afraid. Yield to him now, once and for ever yield. Make Christ thy portion and his grace thy shield. What though the world its pleasures still display? Christ calleth yet. O heart, do thou obey. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the call of Christ in our lives. We thank you for the way in which Paul represented that call to the Thessalonians, encouraging them to have good relationships with their leaders, with each other, and with you yourself. And we pray that that call would be a call that we respond to wholeheartedly, that we would not fear what it might mean for us, that the challenge of serving others rather than serving ourselves, the challenge of laying down our life rather than holding on to it, would not be a challenge that we shrink from, because we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ go there before. So help us in this, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.